You're listening to the Gospel Project for Preschooling Kids Weekly Leader Training, helping you teach your kids the big story of the Bible.
Welcome back once again, and on this episode we're covering Unit 26, Session 5, Jesus' Crucifixion from Matthew 26 and 27 and John 18 and 19 primarily. Again, like last episode, if you listen to that, this account occurs in all four Gospels, but we're focusing a little bit more on these two and kind of mining these two for some of the details. One of the frustrating things for me, Karen, is as we compile a scope and sequence for every three-year plan, there's just no way we can cover everything. You alluded to this last session that, you know, that we were able to get some details, and we are able to get some details, but there's still so much more. I wish we had more time to go even deeper, but we just can't. So we have to kind of choose, hey, which Gospels we're going to focus on a little bit more than others. And so these are the two we did for this time. So I've got to ask, just because I have to ask, it would not be a complete episode without, I am anticipating the answer. What is the big idea of this week's session?
Yeah, before I answer that, I'll have to say for the next cycle of the Gospel Project, we need to have like more clever names that aren't so descriptive for the sessions, session titles, so that way I have something to say. That's already been said.
Well, we have them done, and they're a little bit different of a logic, but I still think they're on the nose.
Maybe we'll just have
to change the question.
Yeah. but mainly, the big idea, obviously, Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. And, you know, this is the central story, you know, this and the resurrection next week. But we're going to pick up just after the arrest and run through his burial in this session.
All right. So let's talk about any areas needing caution or extra prep time. And let me go first, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again, especially with this session, because it's so important. All of them, of course, are important, but, you know, quite honestly, when we get to the crucifixion and resurrection, this is hyper important. And so the danger is that we are so familiar with this, and we believe that our kids are probably familiar with this, and so we might assume that wrongly. And so I would just encourage you to come at this with the approach, pray this over, of course. You know your kids better than we do. You know how helpful this advice I'm about to give you will be. But I would just encourage you, pray about this and really consider, do your kids really understand this story? They may know it, but do they really understand it? Have they trusted in Jesus yet? If they've not trusted in Jesus yet, then it's another opportunity. They need to hear this story and let it sink from their heads into their hearts more to trust in him. If they have trusted in Jesus, this is that great reminder. If your kids are like, oh, this is boring, we've talked about this, man, that's a great opportunity for you to have a discussion. We should never be bored with the gospel, you know, to see the beauty. So you have so many different angles with your regular kids, but also keep this in mind. You could have a new kid every week. Isn't that something we should be praying for? Shouldn't we be praying that our friends invite a friend or a guest is in town or whatever the case may be? And so you can have a new kid, and you have to assume that that new kid has never heard this. And so don't cut corners. Tell this story in its fullness and its beauty. And I pray you do that with joy and with passion, because your kids will be able to pick up on that as well. So how about you, Karen? What do you have in mind for any cautions or anything extra time?
Well, you know, for preschoolers specifically, and probably even some of your younger elementary, you know, this can be a very scary story. And so I would just encourage you to focus on the facts and not over dramatize it. And two, you know, we continually say that this curriculum is a tool. So you need to be sensitive to, you know, your room and the kids that you're with, and, you know, adjust as needed. But also, I would argue that there's nothing wrong with, and it's probably a good thing for preschoolers to feel, you know, just the sadness and weight of this story, because it is a sad and weighty story. And so you definitely want to emphasize the Christ connection that talks about how Jesus rose from the dead. So for those who aren't familiar with the story, you know, they know that it doesn't end this way. It's not the final word. And you want to end the story with hope. And a few years ago, I wrote some blog posts on how and why to teach the crucifixion story to preschoolers. So you can check those out for a bit more of a deep dive into, you know, our philosophy in covering the story with little ones, and then some practical strategies for how to do it. So that would be one thing I would want to add along those lines. And two, Brian, we're going to have to admit it again, the Olympics got us in this session as well. So we mentioned this in the last leader training, but, you know, we had planned for the 2021 Olympics to happen, and they didn't. And so you're going to want to adjust the dialogue on the missions moment and the missions activity just to reflect that the, you know, Olympics in Japan haven't happened yet, but they will eventually, if the Lord is willing. So, yeah.
Good. Yeah.
And then for preschool, we are going to be talking about sin. So there's a activity called Talk About Sin. And so you want to be sure to read that caution note out to the side. You know, you have to be, you know, just careful talking to kids about sin. So you want to be careful that you're not accusing a child, but also you do want to communicate the fact that they are in fact sinners. So you just want to be really sensitive to your kids. And I've seen just talking with kids through the years who are, you know, considering Christ, they're really great at pointing out someone else's sin, you know, like a siblings but I would just encourage you to, you know, kind of circle back to themselves in a very gentle and sensitive way. And I also think it's really great when we as leaders can model, you know, speaking openly about our sin in an age appropriate way, you know, just to let them know, hey, we're sinners too. We're all sinners. And, you know, we all need a savior. So you can really model that for them. I mean, I just think it would, I know I grew up, you know, trying to, well, I think we all try to hide our sin. Yeah. But when we can bring it to the light, it's like such a freeing thing. And to just, you know, raise up our kids in a way that they are constantly exposing their sin to the light, you know, can be really transformative.
I think that's so important what you just shared there at the end. And, you know, first of all, I'd say my kids are great at pointing out my sin. I think anytime we can have that appropriate transparency and that balance, and especially if you're a leader, if you're a ministry leader and you interact with your teachers in the classroom and kind of give them some more input and tips, I would be sure to do that with this one. And I would make sure you help them understand what we mean by age appropriateness. And I think there are two things. One, there are certain sins that would not be appropriate for us to talk with them. Lust, for example, would not be appropriate to share. I think that's a pretty obvious one.
Please don't do that.
Please don't do that. But then there are also some sins that may not be inappropriate from that level, but that a preschooler would not relate with.
Good point.
So, you know, think in terms of what might my preschoolers be dealing with and how can I relate with them? So if you think, yeah, my preschoolers, they can be selfish. I think that's a common sin for preschoolers. Well, it's a common sin for us too. So in what ways are you selfish? Be age appropriate to share, hey, I can be selfish because I want my own way. I always want to eat what I want to eat, whatever it is. Give the real example, but be age appropriate, not only in what you don't share of categories of sin that would be wrong, but also in what you do share that can connect with those preschoolers. So yeah, that's a great piece of advice. And also do it in a way where you are not proud of your sin. I see this mistake made often, but at the same time, don't lament your sin. Be in that fine balance, that middle ground of recognizing your sin is wrong and repenting, but having joy that you're forgiven. So we just want to give a biblical perspective of sin for our kids.
And another activity in the leader guide, less about sin, but we're going to be looking at nature items. So one of the activities, you need to find some thorns and put them in a sealed plastic container. Or clear, of course, but we really want you to reinforce that seal with duct tape, you know, just to avoid the risk of it coming open. And you'll also need some wood or rock, so you're going to have to get outside and gather some things. And then we do have used the thorns again in the Remember Bible Story Items activity, but, you know, preschoolers shouldn't be able to touch it because you're removing the item, you're adding and removing the items and that. But I would probably still keep that in the plastic container, especially if you have like preschoolers on the younger side that are likely to grab just to avoid anybody getting stuck. So babies and toddlers, we're going to be looking at sensory crosses, and this this is a baby activity that involves whipped cream and pretzel sticks, so you're gonna want to watch them closely with that, and for choking and messes and things like that.
I don't know what that has to do with anything, but I'm all about whipped cream and pretzel sticks.
Yeah, that salty sweet combination for sure. Let's see, making cross art. Again, you're going to want to gather some sticks, so you're definitely going to be getting out in the yard this week. But you could make do with craft sticks if you want to, but it wouldn't have that rustic feel. And this is an activity that would engage a natural learner. So it's worth it to go out in the yard and find some sticks to engage that little one that learns that way. And then the look at crowns calls for an artificial crown of thorns. I researched a little bit where to find that, because I don't know that that's something you would necessarily have just laying around, but you can easily buy an artificial rose stem and just remove the flower and twist it into a crown and have that pretty inexpensively. I think they do have some that are made for classrooms to keep, but they're probably a little bit more expensive. If that's something you want to invest in, which obviously you probably will be able to use it for years and years, but you can accomplish the same thing with an inexpensive rose stem. So.
All right, so let's shift to talking about what we're excited about God potentially doing through this session, and I'll go first. Again, this one's kind of on the nose, but anytime we talk about the cross, the sacrifice of Jesus, it's an opportunity for us to share the gospel, and kind of goes back to what I was trying to encourage you earlier about, and that is always being sensitive to understand your kids may not fully understand this content, even though they may have heard it many times. And so the prayer should be that God just speaks to your kids in a way that's new and powerful, and that maybe, just maybe, that this will be one of those final steps for that kid to trust in Jesus. And they may make a decision to trust in Jesus even this very day when you teach this. And so have that anticipation, have that that posture of hope, but also don't manufacture that. We don't want to force our kids. You know, there's this tendency, parents do this as well. We feel, all right, the kid is so close, and he should have, or she should have made a decision by now. She should have trusted. What is she waiting for? And we want to we have the best of intentions, but we can kind of push. And sometimes we're just making a mistake by doing that. We want to stretch, but we don't want to push. And so just walk that balance of anticipating, help guide those kids toward trusting in Jesus, because that's what we're about doing, right? But at the same time, don't force it. You don't want to be able to say and post on social media Monday after teaching this, oh, I had 20 kids pray to receive Jesus, and really 20 did not. They were just trying to make you happy. So just be careful, walk that balance.
Yeah, that's such a wise word. I just know in my years of, being on church staff and talking to kids, when you talk to them and really tease it out, it was trying to please an adult, and yeah. You just want to be sensitive to the work of the Spirit in their life. So thanks. That's a really good share. So for me, thinking about our 3-year scope and sequence, this week and next week are what we have been pointing to for 2 years and are going to be pointing back to for the rest of this third year as we continue. And so, it's the climax of the story. So my prayer is for kids to grasp just the gravity of the cross and the resurrection and the weight of sin and the joy of redemption. So, yeah.
Sounds good. All right, it's a good place to wrap up there. So I want to thank you for listening to this week's Leader Training. We hope that you have found it helpful as you prepare to teach the Gospel Project for kids and preschool. And for more helpful resources, visit gospelproject.com.